So it's not what's going into your mouth. It's not about what you eat. It's what's coming from the heart that defiles you. And clearly what we are speaking of shows what is the motives and the states of our heart. So if you listen to someone long enough, you're actually going to find out very quickly what is the motive, what is the state of their heart. Is there religion there? And it's difficult for us to listen to ourselves. Then I'm skipping two verses, verse 15 to 20. But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you still without understanding? Do you not see whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." So, practical exercise. I want everyone just to close your eyes and let's take 1 minute and just think what's been coming out of your mouth the past 2 weeks, or if your past 2 weeks was too busy, the past month. I'm just gonna, it might be awkward silence. Just take a minute and just think what's been coming out of your mouth. Just keep your eyes closed. I'm just going to name a few things. Was there a lot of complaining? Was there thankfulness? Was there faith? Was there fear? What were the desires of your heart? Was it after God? Was it worldly desires? What was your aims? What was your goals? Was there slander in your speech? Was there encouragement? How much of a desire for God was there? Did the name of Jesus go through your thoughts? Like, did it really go through your thoughts and really a longing for Him? Were you trying to receive the approval of people around you? So just with that list, that's what I checked in my heart. You can open your eyes again. That's what I checked in my heart, and I failed a few of those, but I realized, whoa, there's actually bad things that's been coming out of me. And Matthew 6, verse 21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So where your heart, where's your heart and where's your treasure been the past month? And then for those of you who are married, it would be quite easy to find out what's going on inside of your heart. You have someone listening to you every day. They see everything that's coming out of you. They see all the good. They see all the bad. And something that my wife and I try and do is we try and ask each other. We used to do it quite often, not so often anymore, but we did another exercise this week. Is we just ask, what did you hear coming from my mouth the past month or the past 2 weeks? You can decide how often you want to do it. But I just asked her, what do you hear coming from my mouth? And it's just a practical tool for me to make sure what's coming out of my heart, because that's what defiles me. That's what's inside of me. Is there life coming out, or is there religion coming out? What are my desires? What are my aims? What are my goals? So it's actually just a mirror for you to look at, is to get someone around you, ask them, what do you hear coming from my mouth? So we did that exercise this week, and there were some things that I wanted to hear from my wife coming out of my mouth, but it actually didn't. Like, I was thinking, I want to measure up to the standard, but those things weren't actually coming out. And what's necessarily going on in my mind doesn't always settle in my heart, and it doesn't play out. And then there's some good things, and then there's some bad things coming out. And then obviously I get to ask her the question back on her side, which is nice. And it's just really a nice way for us to make sure we look after each other well, we lead each other closer to God and just see what's really coming out of us. And it really brings a lot of life in us. So an encouragement from that is today or in this week, if you're married, ask your spouse to just tell you, listen, what have you heard coming from my mouth? And just shoot straight. and it might not be nice, but it's just going to bring out the dirty stuff in you. And it's going to bring out the good. If you're not married, ask someone that's close to you or that you spend a lot of time with. Then again, just the main portion I want to highlight from the scripture is, where is there religion in our hearts? Where are we worshiping God with our lips, but our hearts are far from Him? And I just made a list of a few characteristics of religion and a pure heart and where religion is absent. In religion, there's usually selfish ambition. You're performance-driven. You're seeking rewards. You're seeking recognition from people. You want to go and tick the boxes and look like everything is okay with me. But actually, it's not. But you want that recognition from people just to see that you are okay. You are a Christian. You are following God. In religion, there's often not real transformation and change over a long period of time. You just basically stay the same you are. And if someone's really free in the Lord, you can very quickly see it like, poof, there's life on that person. Religion kills life. There's no true growth. And a good test, a color refers to it quite often. I don't know if he's done it here, but just what does your worship and your prayer life look like when you're at church versus when you're at home? That's a good way to just measure up, like, is the praise and the worship that you are bringing here at church and just singing the words, is that actually from a place of religion or really from a pure heart after God? So go and think. Just make that comparison of yourselves. What does it look like at home versus at church or whether in your community or around people? And what does your quiet time look like? Is there a real passion and a desire and a hunger for God? And in religion, we often try and stir excitement in ourselves. We try and get ourselves excited for this thing that's coming up, but we don't actually allow the Holy Spirit, as Stuart said earlier, we don't allow the Holy Spirit to come and stir up faith. A pure heart where religion is absent, there's truth, there's vulnerability, you're authentic. There's continual transformation, there's growth, there's life. It's living in the light, it's getting the dirty stuff out. And it's a place where the Holy Spirit stirs up faith. And it comes from a place of intimacy with the Lord. And I was just considering about, it's always nice to share a story about yourself just to make it practical. Just about religion and just where you've missed the mark. And we had a leaders' time early last year where a bunch of Joshian leaders came together, and the guy leading us at the moment in South Africa, Mornay, just started repenting of some stuff in his heart. And something beautifully actually broke open where he just created a space like, just check your heart where you are at the moment. And if you need to repent to the Lord or to someone, just like deal with it now. And I just went and I searched through my heart. And there was a few things towards my wife that I actually needed to repent of. But then there was this one thing. So for those of you who don't know, Kala actually leads our congregation. He's been in India for 2 weeks and Russia for 2 weeks. But he should be back next week, hopefully with all the war stuff going on. But I really love him. And my heart is really for him. And I want to see him being the greatest Kala that he can be in the Lord. And that is always my speech when I'm around him, when I'm around people. But then just as I was considering my heart, I just realized this one time at home where I spoke to my wife and I criticized this one aspect of him, which wasn't honorable from my side. But I never went and repented to him about it. I never shared it with anyone. It was just in that space. And when I'm around him, I would be like, yes, I'm backing you 200%. But there was that one instance where I didn't honor him or I actually criticized him. And it just showed me like, oh, there's something in my heart here that's not truthful, that's not honest towards him and to the Lord. And I did go and repent to him. For him, it wasn't something big necessarily, but in my heart, it just showed like, oh, there's a fraught apple. There's a rotten apple in there. Just me actually talking behind his back. And I'm thinking my heart is in a position where I'm honoring him as I would the Lord, but actually it's not. And just how that came about is being in the Lord's presence. And it's in the Lord's presence where these things actually get revealed. And he shows us the sickness that is in our hearts when we get into his presence. So I'm really trusting that I'm just going to go through a few things now just about religion, but it's only in his presence that these things can get revealed. Ron, do you know how I'm doing for time? Okay. So just a few practical examples. What are the common things that lead us away from God that can result in religion? I'm a very practical person. I'm not necessarily the best teacher or the best prophetic guy. Practical, love to apply things. So, yeah, what are some things that lead us away from God and results in religion? And the first thing, and it's common, and Rensu mentioned it a lot the past 2 weeks, it's our time with God. How much time do we have with God? What is our intimacy with God looking like? Is there even intimacy? And maybe you're spending time with God, but is there real depth in it? What is your Netflix, your Instagram, your Facebook time looking like compared to your time with God? If we aren't going to spend time with God, we will almost certainly fall back in religion and just go through the motions and try and follow God. And the basics that Rensu referred to, praying, giving, fasting, the word. And I was just wondering, he had two awesome preachers, but have you applied that in your life in the last 2 weeks? Has there actually been a change since he's delivered those messages? And maybe there was conviction in your heart, but was there actually a change? And then just what does your calendar look like? What's important to you is going to be shown by your calendar. So just go and open. Maybe everything's not in there, but just go and think, what do you keep yourself busy with? What is in your calendar? What's important to you? Are you making the changes that you need to? If we don't spend time with the Lord, we will almost certainly fall back into religion. The second point is we try and do things out of our own strength. And as we were in prayer meeting this morning, it was quite cool. There was like three people that came to me with words. It's about the Spirit. We can't do it without the Spirit. It's about the Spirit. I've struggled a lot with this in my walk with the Lord. We can easily get to a place where we try and live for God instead of trying to live from the Lord. So we try and do all these things for the Lord because the Word says you have to do A, B, C, and D, and E. But we're not living in a place where we receive from the Lord, where we receive the Spirit, and then we can serve Him from that place. And that's just actually out of our own strength. And the Lord has done everything that He can for us. We can't add anything to our salvation by the works that we bring or what we think we can try and bring. Those things are worthless, and we'll just waste time and energy, and we're just going to burn out. And often, if we try and live for God, it's usually from a place to also please the people around us and get their approval, like, wow, that guy's really a servant. So just check your heart where there is recognition when it is done from a place of religion. We grow weary, we grow tired, we burn out from this if it's from your own strength. So that's a good measurable. And then something that's been stirring in my heart over the past few months is, this is a third point, we rely on the life of other people to carry us instead of going and really getting our own life from the Lord and digging a fountain, getting the fresh living water from the Lord. We can get stuck in a culture where we rely on events, or, yes, Ruan just had an amazing time with the Lord and I had a coffee with him, and I'm sort of just taking what the Lord has deposited in his heart and I'm trying to make it part of me and I try and run with that. And when I run empty after a week, I just go to another person and hear what he's got from the Lord. And you run with that again. Or there might be events, a Sunday service. You just get here just to drink, to get some food, as someone says, or in worship, or Wednesday at community. But those times in between, there's actually no intimacy with the Lord. And it's something that I've been guilty of in the past, where I really just try and run after events and trying to meet up with people, getting their life, and sort of trusting that to sustain me in the Lord. But if we're going to do that, we're going to start worshiping the God at out of a place of religion. You will run empty. And yeah, it's not wrong to go and have coffee with someone and get revelation and make that thing part of you. Or when you have an issue, to go and ask someone for help, grab a coffee. But don't neglect the time with the Lord and really just doing the effort, digging yourself, trying to get the living water. A fourth point that I made, what can keep us away from the Lord and result in religion, is when there is unrepentance in our hearts, resentment towards someone, or unforgiveness. That's usually a win recipe for the enemy, just to get someone into religion. So just go and check your heart. Is there unrepented sin? Do you have resentment towards someone? Is there unforgiveness in your heart? And these are things that all prevent the Spirit from working. It's where we put ourselves in the place. We want to do the work and not allow the Spirit to come and do the work in our hearts. And then I'm going to start landing with these points. How do we work this out practically in everyday life? And just a few tools and a few things to look out for. How can we fight religion? And again, it's our time with the Lord, and we have to be close to God's heart. Matthew 13, verse 44. You're quick, Enya. Thank you. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and he sells everything that he has, and he buys that field. And we can't afford to stop ever looking for that treasure. And I don't think until the day we actually meet face to face with Jesus, we wouldn't have found that treasure. And we can't ever stop digging for that treasure. Kala has a very good story, just an example that he uses of this hole usually. And if there's a million rand that's hidden somewhere here, like, what's your heart's posture and your heart's position going to be looking after that million rand if you know it's here? You're going to keep looking for it until you find it. We have to allow the Spirit in our time with God. Without that, it's going to be dead. Narko shared with me just before we started just a picture of fresh bread. And God is there for free as a fresh bread. And we all know that smell when a bread just comes out of the oven. It's amazing. And God is there for us as fresh bread to eat and to take part of. We don't have to work to get of it. We can get it for free. We need to be digging living wells of water in our own lives. We need to fight for intensive intimacy with the Lord. We can't just be content with just our time with the Lord in the morning or in the afternoon and just praying. We need to fight for intimacy with the Lord. It can't just be superficial. We need to fight for that. We need to let the Spirit in. And the more time we spend with the Lord, the natural thing will happen. Our hearts will start to look more like Him and less like religion. And don't be a spectator of this. Just even with all the, I want to throw it out as an encouragement. Don't be a spectator to what happens here on a Sunday morning. Just what Renshu brought was really powerful. Don't be a spectator to that. Take part of it. Don't be a spectator to this morning and fall back in your set ways if there is maybe religion in your heart. Deal with the stuff. Allow God in and help Him to lead you and sort you out. Then earlier in the scriptures, we read, it's what comes out of our hearts that defiles us. So a second point is we have to protect our hearts. Proverbs 4 verse 23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. And we need to go and identify the things that's causing religion in our life. And we have to set boundaries on that. We have to be practical in this regard. What are you allowing into your heart? What are you listening to? What are you watching? Who are the people you spend time with? What's the filters? What's actually getting into your heart? Are there boundaries around that? Because what you're going to allow into your heart is what's going to start coming out. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 to 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. I'm just going to read that second part again. I, the Lord, search the heart and I test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. So the Lord sees exactly what's going on in our hearts. We can't fool him. You can try and bring the best presentation of who you are, but the Lord knows what's your heart's motivation. And he's going to judge us on this one day. That's the hard reality. He's going to judge us on this one day and just ask, what was in your heart in those times that you actually came to me? And God doesn't just examine what we bring to him. He examines the heart's motivation behind what we bring it. Sort of a Mary Martha. What is the heart's motivation behind what you bring? So we have to protect our hearts and what's going on into our hearts. Then we have to stay and live in community, and we need accountability around us. I need someone to show the blind spots in my life, and I need Charles to come to me and say, hey man, there's maybe this one area in your life, like, you're not growing in that area. You've been struggling with years for that, or there's this thing on your life, but you're not getting breakthrough in it, and maybe that's religion. We need accountability around us. We need someone to speak to us, and just what is the definition of accountability? We shouldn't be waiting for someone to come to us and ask us, hey man, how are you doing with that? How are you doing with that? Or how's it going with this? We should be able to put ourselves in a position where we go out and we live accountable and we tell someone, listen, there's this thing in my heart that I'm struggling with. Or, yes, I'm feeling that I'm serving the Lord out of religion and I can't get breakthrough from it. Help me. That's actually what accountability looks like. Going to someone with the thing that you're struggling with, being open about it, allow them to speak in. We need each other. Then my last point, and I'm gonna almost land with this, is we need to often have communion. If we have communion often, we get into the presence of the Lord, and it's an opportunity to make our hearts right, and just to search, oh yes, Lord, where is there religion in my heart? Where am I missing the mark? Where am I serving you out of own works? Where am I just trying to do good for myself? We remember the Lord. We forgive people around us. It's our opportunity to repent before the Lord. And it's just always you come out with a cleaner heart. Well, that's what it should be. You should come out with a cleaner and a lighter heart on the other side. And just a question as I'm closing. If God would have removed every religious activity, maybe just close your eyes. If God would have removed everything that might be religious in your life, that's coming from your own works, what would be remaining showing that you are a son or a daughter of God and that you're actually living from Him? Maybe you're doing very well in this regard, but if God would come and just remove every religious activity in you, what would be left showing that you are a son of God, you are a daughter of God?